This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Wow, the Astros in a game seven of the World Series knock off the Dodgers 5-1. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America, tonight. We have to talk about the Astros because a lot of what happened to the people in Houston, and we talked to so many that were hit by Hurricane Harvey. It was awful. And the team really embraced what was going on there. In other words, felt like they were giving the people of Houston something to cheer for the rest of the way after that horrific experience with Harvey that they're still obviously suffering through and getting homes and people back together. So good for the Astros. The Astros do it with a dramatic win, I think, in Los Angeles. And a pal of the show, George Springer, was fantastic. He matched Reggie Jackson and Chase Utley for the record of 5 home runs in one World Series. So how about that? Absolutely amazing. Somebody who was disappointed, perhaps, that his team didn't get into the World Series, the Washington Nationals, would be Justin Duckham. But there's so much going on, and he joins us from Talk Media News. Justin, I know you're over the Nationals, but did you take a peek at what happened with the Astros and the Dodgers?
Yes, I did. And, you know, as somebody who grew up in the Bay Area and was pretty much born and raised a Giants fan before I moved to D.C. and, you know, started going for the Nationals, I can't say that I'm very disappointed tonight.
Yeah, there you go. And I understand that because I lived in California and saw many of those great games between the Giants and the Dodgers, too, by the way. The huge rivalry between those two clubs. So then the Dodgers get knocked out in the seventh game. Pretty wild. Hey, speaking of being knocked out, what's the latest on what's happening with the Russia indictments, the probe, that whole thing? Because, of course, Monday was shock day for a few people, I think, including the fact that you had George Papadopoulos, a former Trump foreign policy advisor, pleading guilty to lying to the FBI about his contacts with Russia. And then Paul Manafort, of course, also in the middle of this, but not pleading guilty to any such thing. What's next? What's happened?
Well, you know, a lot of this is kind of waiting to see what exactly is going to be next, kind of anticipating Mueller's next move. And what we know right now is that Hope Hicks, who has been a longtime aide for Donald Trump, somebody who was sort of the unofficial spokesperson to a large extent for a long period of the campaign, is now going to be interviewed by Mueller's team. We know that much. That could prove to be pretty interesting, considering it's now getting very close to the president himself. And in terms of the damage control that we're seeing from the White House, we understand that the message that they are going with is that George Papadopoulos is just sort of a non-factor. There is sort of a concerted effort to downplay his role, to say that, you know, what he did had nothing to do with the campaign in an official capacity. And we are also still trying to figure out who could be named next. There was a bit of a controversy surrounding one other surrogate, Sam Clovis, who served on the campaign in an official capacity, was, according to his lawyer, the campaign aide who told Papadopoulos that he would encourage his trip to Russia and may have his nomination for the Department of Agriculture rescinded because of this entire controversy. So, you know, right now there's a lot of guesswork over what can happen next, but there certainly is an effort to scramble in response to the news that we saw so far.
Yeah. Moving to something else, how about the president calling for tougher immigration response? And this, of course, is after that horrific attack in New York City and all those poor people on that bike path. Mm-hmm. And then what ultimately happened there? What's been the reaction to this from the rest of the people in D.C.?
Well, we had the president coming out today, as you mentioned, and calling on Congress to essentially rescind the diversity lottery. This is something that is a pretty esoteric part of the immigration system, but countries that have less than 50,000 immigrants in the U.S. Applicants from those countries are put in sort of a random lottery where they are still vetted, they still are looked at, but they ultimately are kind of chosen at random. So the president said we're going to do away with that after it was initially reported that that was how this suspect, Saipov, got into the United States, and also tried to put some of the blame on Chuck Schumer from New York, saying that this was something that he had fought for, you know, years and years ago when this was initially passed during the George H.W. Bush administration, and sort of adding a political element to this, despite the fact that the White House said that this was not political. So that on top of what the president is describing as extreme vetting measures kind of paint a portrait that shows that the president is going to be pursuing, you know, tougher immigration steps as a result of this and using this as a central theme of his argument.
Yeah, there you go. So we move from immigration and the response after the attack, and as you just talked about, what this now will become part of, to the Republicans trying to finish up the tax bill, because there's a lot of pressure coming out of D.C., I think, and elsewhere mounting on this, and we're getting close to the end of the year when Congress takes a break. What happens here?
Well, we are expecting to see an announcement tomorrow. You know, so far we're not exactly sure what is going to be included in this as the full picture. There's been a lot of controversy over whether or not this was going to address state and local tax breaks, whether or not this was going to be touching 401ks. And, you know, the last I checked before I jumped on the air with you is this still does not formally have a name. So that kind of shows that a deadline is coming up, but there are still, you know, just frankly a lot of unanswered questions that we are not going to have in full until tomorrow. And we know with a lot of these things, this kind of comes down to the wire, and this is another example of them kind of waiting until the last minute to make sure that this is something that they can pass and not have another, you know, just strategic misstep like we saw with healthcare reform not very long ago.
Yeah, boy, there you go. All right, Justin Duckham, thanks.
Thank you.
So, Justin, talking about, you know, we were talking about what happened in New York, just briefly mentioning it. The Empire State Building is going to be dark and was dark for a couple of days. So for two nights in a row, they kept the building dark to remember those who were killed in the terror attack. Eight people died. A dozen other people were injured after a truck barreled into the pedestrians and bicyclists in lower Manhattan. It was just an awful, awful thing to see, and they think the attack had been planned for several weeks. So this was not a spur-of-the-moment thing, and the attacker immediately said Allah Akbar when he, you know, got out of the truck. And this is awful. So now the questions abound. How radicalized is the New York City terrorist suspect? He wanted an ISIS flag to add insult to injury, put in his hospital room. They want the suspect charged. Feds say he wanted to kill as many people as possible. So they absolutely say this is a terrorist threat. And boy, just an awful thing. Hey, we're gonna bounce back to baseball. He was a guest with us before, and he was just absolutely terrific. He's got an incredible series that's ongoing now. John Leo Nudeikis is going to join us next on ATN.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
This just in. Before your doctor gives you another antibiotic prescription that you don't want, get this free report, The Miracle of Garlic, Your First Home Medicine. This free report is filled with easy kitchen remedies for common colds, flus, sore throats, ear infections, and more. Plus, learn to boost your immunity before you get sick. Go now to GCNwellness.com. Just like it sounds, GCNwellness.com to get your free report, The Miracle of Garlic. Click GCNwellness.com.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Are you retired or facing retirement and you're afraid your income is going to be less than you'd like? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and I want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current schedule, creating extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusades, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Starting. 383.
'Marathon, not a sprint,' such a cliche, but so true. And we're talking about the Astros winning the World Series. Game 7, heavy drama, knocked off the Dodgers. It was an incredible series, I have to say. 5-1, the final score in the decisive final game. The Astros just stranded too many runners. And Yu Darvish, who couldn't get through two, gave up too many runs once again. And that was part of the story. Clayton Kershaw came in for the Dodgers, and he did a great job while he was on the mound, but it certainly wasn't enough. And the Houston Astros got the punch that they needed offensively and were able to win Game 7 for the first World Series championship in their history. So once again, I'll say, you know, congratulations to the Houston Astros. And waiting in our virtual green room right now, he was watching just as I was watching, is John Leo Neudykus, and he is a baseball historian and director of something we talked about before, the Sweet Spot. So, John, you were watching that, and I covered Yu Darvish when he was with the Rangers, and he had nothing in the beginning of this game. So we saw in this final seventh game that obviously the Astros were able to get out there pretty early, and that made part of the difference. What did you think of this Game 7?
Well, I think, first of all, it's good to be with you and your audience again, Kate. Thank you for having me. I think that the Houston's managerial, the coaching staff, did a fantastic job in terms of solving the Dodgers lineup, specifically handling the big bats of people like Justin Turner and really reducing Cody Bellinger to basically a scapegoat. I mean, they found his weakness and they just punished it.
Boy, that's the truth. And I've covered this game for a long time because besides doing this show, I do a show for NBC, and I had AJ on the show, and I also had George Springer on the show, and George Springer was just amazing. His bat came alive when they needed it to come alive, didn't it?
Well, the thing that was amazing about George Springer, if you remember back in Game 1, he looked like a bum. He looked completely over his head.
He did.
Kershaw just owned him. And then suddenly, he just emerged to be this beast, 6'3", 215 pounds, just one heck of a hitter, and he did just about everything you could do, much deservedly win that Most Valuable Player award.
Oh, yeah, the 5 home runs, just absolutely incredible, and you said it right. He was so cold as ice, and then he came alive again at the right time. So you, as somebody who obviously loves baseball, you do a lot of research on baseball, you have a long storied history on films that you've worked on, including 3 that are in the permanent collection. We talked about this before in the National Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, the day the World Series stopped, not exactly Cooperstown, and a century in the bleachers. So you watch this, and where do you think this ranks in history? Great ratings.
Well, I think in the history of World Series, it's one of the greats. The Game 5 has to be one of the top 10 greatest World Series games of all time. And the home runs, the scoring, it was just off
crazy.
The charts. I mean, as a baseball fan, you could not have asked for anything more of a World Series.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm sure for Dodger fans, it's tough because they were out there. They were excited. It had been, 29 years since the Dodgers had won back in 88. Everybody remembers, I think, Kirk Gibson pumping his fist and that whole thing. So I think this is tough for the Dodgers and the Dodger fans, but very exciting for Houston. And because you understand and doing, like I said, the research and tying it to history, this is big for Houston itself, too, because the way the fans are supporting the team, it's the first time they've won in their history. Plus, they just went through Hurricane Harvey, and this has been very uplifting. And that's what I think is special about baseball, and we've seen it with this city and that team, don't you think?
Well, sure. And that city being able to have 3 World Series games there, the tax revenue that is going to benefit them, not to mention the moral camaraderie that community desperately needed. But these were the 2 very best teams in baseball, and this was a heavyweight slugfest. Each team giving the other as good as it got until they finally dropped the other guy. The last 2 games were a little bit of a downslope in terms of the overall excitement of the World Series. But it really shouldn't take away. I mean, to me, this was really the World Series that time forgot. For all the sabermetrics of today's game, this felt like Earl Weaver rose from the dead. He's the manager that eschewed the hit and run and stolen bases in favor of getting a couple guys on base and waiting for a guy named Robinson to hit one over the fence. We didn't see any hit and run hardly, or very few bunts, very few stolen bases. This was all about getting under the ball and hitting it as far as you could.
Mm. Yeah,
look
absolutely.
At John Peterson, what he did, he should be remembered as somebody who really staged quite a comeback in this season and for his career. This was a marvelous series for him.
Yeah, I agree. So let's talk about the sweet spot for people listening. It's this documentary series that focuses on the human side of baseball, season 3 out. Tell us about why, first of all, for people who may be hearing this for the first time, what the sweet spot really focuses on and why season 3 is special to you.
Sure. Well, the sweet spot is the first television series to look at the human side of baseball. And our mission is to preserve baseball history, celebrate a love of the game, but really share stories that transcend sport and capture the imagination. I want to transform how we think about baseball and go beyond box scores to reveal the humanity that's woven into the game. And so what we did was we took a look at the role of women in baseball. And what was really disturbing was that for the past 100 years, I discovered that, and it is no real secret, but that women, American women, have been systematically excluded from playing baseball since as far back as 1909. And I was shocked to find out that, you know, girls couldn't play Little League baseball until 1974. And that was only because Little League was sued because they kicked a girl off a team because girls weren't allowed back then. And I talked to players and coaches and parents who talked about their kids being psychologically and physically assaulted simply because they were good enough to want to be able to play on boys' teams in high school. And it was just shocking. I mean, it really strikes the core of what it means to be an American. And at that point, we're really not talking about baseball. We're talking about the issue of gender inequality in this country and about fighting for a person's hopes and dreams and access and equality and, at times, basic human rights and dignity. So we devoted the entire season to telling this story, and just about everybody I talked to said, I had no idea this was happening. But one of the things we also look at is not laying this issue out on the table for everyone to discuss, but to understand the successes that have occurred and the groundswell that is happening right now to create more opportunities for girls and women to be able to coach as well as play and umpire baseball beyond Little League.
Yeah, love it. John, where can everybody check this out?
You can find us on Amazon.com. Go to Movies and TV in their search box and type in the sweet spot, and you'll see we've got 3 seasons of binge-worthy content for you. Our first 2 seasons, we've got stories on people like Jackie Robinson, Mudcat Grant, Ernie Banks, a couple of gals from the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League, The Black Art of Catching. So that's up there right now, ready for you to watch. We're also on Roku, and we're on Vimeo On Demand, and people can watch us on their smartphones, on their computers at home, and their smart TVs.
I love it. John, thanks so much for joining us, and so many ways to access that. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again down the line.
Thanks so much, Kate.
Yeah, good stuff. Seriously, I didn't even give him his due. I mean, listen, he's been producing really award-winning media experiences. We talked about this before. If you go to Disney theme parks, he will have seen something of his. Guarantee it. If you're at Seattle's Science Fiction Museum and Hall of Fame, you know, right there, hit music documentary, The Wrecking Crew. So this has been what he's done. He's focused on, you know, this baseball, and again, the human side, as he said, and these stories are pretty incredible. I've seen the first 2 seasons, and he described them well. It really is binge worthy, and I'm anxious to see the 3rd season personally. All right, coming up next, we're going to introduce you to this fabulous poet. So interesting. Stay with us here on America Tonight.
Google has all but banned the movie series What Would Muhammad Do? It's a brilliant film on the true history and goals of Islam. This is the film Trump's enemies and holdouts from the Obama administration are terrified you will see. Pro-Islamic groups working with Google and other multi-billion dollar corporations have vowed to suppress the distribution of What Would Muhammad Do? When you see it, you'll understand why. Get your copy while you still can. Order the 4-DVD collection today for $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Or go online and download the entire movie series for just $19.95. But wait, for those who order in the next 30 minutes, we'll throw in a 9-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood absolutely free. Go to www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now. That's www.mdfilm.com or call 304-289-3700 now.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24-7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-510-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-510-BACK to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-510-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
For P150, P150GA, P150NY, P150OK, P150TN, C250A, C250E, C250Q. Not available in all states. If New York or Colorado, call for a similar offer.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $100, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, 1-800-972-6540. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away. So you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. There are no networks, so you can choose any dentist you'd like. Call now for a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-972-6540. That's 1-800-972-6540. 1-800-972-6540.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Sylvia Stern, of course, is joining us in our final segment as we make the final turn for this hour on America Tonight. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great nation. At the top of the show, we talked about what happened in New York and, of course, the reaction in Washington to it. Also, the Astros winning Game 7 for the first World Series title in their history. And then the conversation about where it sticks in the mind for what they were able to do. And I'll tell you, there's so much going on. It's incredible. We could probably fill 10 hours when we talk about what's happening and the buzz in the land, I like to say. And the buzz in the land sadly includes this. I just got a note maybe about an hour ago from a friend saying, checking off, saying, I'm okay. What does that mean? Two men were killed, and a woman was taken to hospital after a shooting at a Colorado Walmart. So this happened much earlier, but it happened in a Denver suburb. And, people describe hiding in the Walmart before being evacuated by police. The police have confirmed they have no one in custody for the shooting as of very late on Wednesday. They're looking at the security footage and interviewing witnesses to try to get as much information, of course, and a description of the potential suspects. They didn't release a lot of details about the circumstances of the shooting or the condition of the woman who was injured, but they, you know, they're trying to piece all of this together. Customers were running like crazy, and employees were screaming, and it's that same deal where you hear that it sounds like a firecracker, but then it's louder, and then, you know, sadly, it's shots. And this is exactly what happened. You know, again, shots at a Walmart in a Denver suburb. So two people dead and details to follow, because there's a lot of vague details about what happened here. Just, again, that it's an incredibly sad situation. And you have people that were panicked because they weren't really quite sure what they were hearing. I'm quite sure some of you listening to this show are people who check in on Facebook. Maybe you check in a couple times a day. Maybe you only do it once in a while. Maybe you post. We, of course, post, or I do for the show. And when I post, I talk about who's on. I talk about our Forbes segments. I talk about some of what's happening in my life because people want to know what else is going on. And this is crazy because I can certainly remember this. The House Intelligence Committee released a sample of the ads of a Russian troll farm that they purchased on Facebook during and after the presidential election. The ads that were released focused on issues like immigration, religion, and race, and, you know, alluded specifically to Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders. Facebook now is saying they found more than 3,000 ads linked to the Internet Research Agency, which is a St. Petersburg troll farm with ties to the Russian government. And the ads were seen by more than 11 million people between 2015 and 2017. The House Intelligence Committee has been expected to release all of the ads, which Facebook has turned over to Congress. And Mueller's office, special counsel Robert Mueller's office. But, you know, the committee's Democrats who were responsible for the release called the selection of the ads that they made public a representative sampling. So there you go. So now some of those were released. They're, you know, and I can remember seeing them. I'm one of the eyes, I'm sure, like anyone else, that probably saw them. And this troll farm had an incredible reach thanks to, you know, Facebook. And they definitely targeted certain people. There's no, you know, question about it. And nobody knew, of course, until after this, but boy, oh boy. And then here's the latest on the New York City attack that we mentioned. The suspect is a guy who's originally from Uzbekistan, and he's been living in the U.S. since 2010. Uber said he started driving for them in New Jersey about 6 months ago. He's 29 years old, and he's accused of using a rented pickup truck to mow down those cyclists on a busy bike path near the World Trade Center in Manhattan. He, of course, was shot and then stopped by police. I mentioned at the top he's in the hospital and wanted an ISIS flag put in his room. But now Uber comes into this because they're wondering about the background checks. And then as they go back into his history, he was charged in Platte, Missouri, with failure to equip a motor vehicle carrier or maintain a required brake system in 2015. He missed a court appearance in November of 2016. The court entered a guilty plea on his behalf. So, you know, New Jersey rules for ride hailing services like Uber and Lyft require the companies to do criminal background checks, which are usually outsourced to special firms. So convictions for crimes like reckless driving automatically disqualify a driver. And the company is getting a lot of questions, but not responding yet at this point to what you know, what, again, what that means. So, boy, oh boy, the New York truck attack suspect passing the background check, and Uber was what he was doing. And very sad, of course, what happened, and something we hadn't seen in a very long time in New York. You think of 9/11, and that was really the big attack in New York City, and there hasn't been anything like that, the loss of life like that, in any kind of a terrorist situation until now, until this happens the other day. And I really feel for the people, because there were other people that were, I mean, there were all kinds of people that were on that path, and there were others who were injured. 27 other people were injured. I mean, can you imagine? Just absolutely awful. And now has raised the questions again about who's coming in the country, what do we know, this guy was planning this attack since last year, you know, how it unfolded. There were, of the eight people who were killed, there were five people from Argentina who were on a high school reunion trip, and they were among those that were killed. Well, you know, because no warning and plowing over the jumping the curb, and that's what you know, that's what happened. So according to the license plate readers, the suspect was on a bridge in New York City. He was southbound on the West Side Highway, and that's, it was in the afternoon, you know, 2:40 something in the afternoon, and that's when he jumped that curb, and he continued down the path, smashing into pedestrians and people on bicycles as well. And then at the end, his truck, his rented truck, collided with a school bus at one point. And then after the collision, he got out of the truck with a pellet gun and a paintball gun, and he started to yell Allah Akbar, as I mentioned before, and just 911 calls just started to pour in almost immediately. And you know, he was fired at, he was hit in the stomach, and then taken into custody, and the rest we'll watch as it unfolds. But he was charged with providing material support to ISIS and violence and destruction of motor vehicles. Just absolutely awful. Awful, scary, and very sad for the families of those people. I always say it's not just eight, it's multiply it by the other amount of people that were involved in the lives of those people. And some of them were tourists, of course, so they're in New York City, and people are getting calls about, you know, their friend or their loved one or whoever being killed in this random attack. And you can't bring that, you can't bring the person back. So it's always, to me, the victims and the lack of discussion about the victims, the timing of that and how that happened. I mean, just absolutely awful. And here's a quick one for you. Papa John's is making news a little bit, not for how much pizza they're selling or for the owner and what the owner's doing, but they've been a big sponsor for the NFL since 2010. And the Papa John's founder and CEO, John Schnatter, is saying that the debacle that's happening in the NFL should be squarely put on Commissioner Roger Goodell, because he says leadership starts at the top. He's right, and this is a poor example of leadership, and the NFL has hurt Papa John's shareholders because the ratings are declining. The viewership is down, so there's rating slumps, and some NFL fans have not turned out because of the controversy. So they're wondering if Papa John's is going to pull ads, and there's discussion about that. All right, a really cool poet coming up next, Sylvia Stern, here on ATN. I could be dating a scientist, but instead of setting out to change.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
In an emergency, you need a fire now. But what if the wood is wet? No problem for InstaFire. Our non-toxic fire starter packs lights wet wood, floats, and can even burn on water or in any weather. Sustains winds up to 30 miles per hour, and each pouch weighs only 1.75 ounces. Need an emergency or camp stove? Get the InstaFire Inferno stove that boils 20 ounces of water in under 3 minutes with controllable heat and temps from 425 to 1500 degrees. Free shipping. Go to InstaFire.com and use discount code RADIO30 at the 3x for 30% off your order. InstaFire. Fire in an instant.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Poetry, I was extremely excited to get the opportunity to have a conversation with Sylvia Stern, and her book is called Walking Through Poetry is the Rhythm of Life. I love, love, love that title. Sylvia, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So I have to ask you right off the bat before we dive deeper into it, how'd you come up with that title? It's very clever.
Well, it's the second edition of my book, so the first one was a little bit different. It was a few people that suggested back and forth, walking through poetry, we were going to have it, and then they decided to just put it on there. And then the picture of the book shows a woman walking through like a map area. So.
Yeah, and yeah, it's funny because I know we had a quick conversation before we even jumped on air, I guess the other day, and you were talking about, the fact that you like to walk through different kinds of weather and sort of the seasonal changes. As somebody that's spent a lot of time all over the country and I've lived through a lot of those seasonal changes, there is something about that, right? Does that inspire you?
Walking the movement, it gives me ideas. I'm a retired school teacher, and when I couldn't think of things that I was going to do for summer school, I would get on the road and just walk, and the ideas would come to me. And it doesn't matter night or morning or bad weather or any time, because I walk in the early morning before the sun comes out with a headlight on my head. And so walking meant a great deal to me, and it has all my life, and that's when ideas come to me when I'm moving.
Yeah, so it's interesting that you say that, because there's other people, Sylvia, that would agree with you, that would say they get great ideas from just going out the front door, back door, whatever, and just the movement, like you say, just walking, it just prompts your mind, I guess, perhaps to open up or whatever it might be. And then would you think of whatever it was that you would think of, you'd come up with an idea of something for the kids, et cetera, you would just remember it and then write it down by the time you had gotten home?
Sometimes I'd have to mull it over in my head. If it was a poem, I'd have to keep repeating it and repeating it, because you can lose it just like that. And so I would keep saying, and I never bring a pad and pencil with me. So I would keep mulling the idea in my head and working it through, and then I'd get home and get right to my computer, and then I'd type it on the Microsoft, and that's how I love to type. I can compose on that very well after that.
Yeah. Have you always been a lover of poetry?
Yes, more so as I've gotten old, if I've gotten older. But when I was a teacher, I would have my second graders work with color poetry. We would take a color and we'd brainstorm all the things that we could think about. And so, and we'd do some poetry then. It was hard for children, but they have a little naturalness that comes out that I enjoy about it. They're not as afraid of it as adults can be. But I would say that as I've gotten older, I've enjoyed it more, and I have a lot of old books, old, old poetry books. I mean, before 1900, and I treasure those books, and I love to read those.
Wow, no kidding. Before the 1900s. Do you have a favorite poet? Is there a couple of favorite poets you have?
Oh, well, there is. I like a little bit of many of them. I even like some Robert Burns, and I like to read it in the way he wrote it, you know, try to his Scottish sound. And because he wrote in three different, the English and the Scottish, and I know what the other one was called. And I like James Whitcomb Riley. A lot of his is just fun to read. And Emily Dickinson, of course, she was in between the time there. Robert Frost. And Oliver Wendell Holmes, and I could name quite a few there, yes.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Emily Dickinson's, too. My father, I mentioned this to you, he was actually a poet. I would call him a poet. He was a newspaper writer, but he was really, his passion was poetry and wrote poetry, and she was one of his favorites. And it's interesting, to as somebody now who's delved in this a little bit more with your retirement, is it interesting to compare the way the poets, some that you mentioned, came up with their material, or how their material is different from one another?
Well, I don't know how they came up with it. I'm not sure about that. But I'm always attracted to nature poetry, like William Wordsworth and Adapted. Of course, that's the most well known of his. But I'm not sure how they came up with it. But I like to compare them. I like even some that have a rhythm, just like there's one rhythm, I believe his last name is Czar, and he wrote The Rhythm of the Rails. And it's so much fun to read it because there's a rhythm to it that you can feel yourself rocking down the train. So he had to do that. He had to be on a train to actually hear that, you know, to feel that. And I like even some of Robert Service, and his are, sometimes they're kind of tough. And the cowboy poetry, I like to get into some of that. And there was, I don't remember his name now, and he was before, maybe just early 1900s, and it was their life. And they wrote of their life, what they experienced.
Yeah, and you, obviously, you write poems, and do you feel that you, I mean, do you, obviously, it's different what you're writing today than maybe what you wrote years ago. Have you seen a big change as going from being a school teacher to now having more time to volunteer and garden and travel and spend more time with poetry? Have your poems changed?
Well, some of my poems have changed in that I'm trying to celebrate a retirement age and getting older and see some, like I'm writing, I wrote one poem about I'm a much older girl now, but I still have some of the same child in me. And I like to, I write about humorous things that come up that I probably wouldn't have energy for then. Like crows on the wire, and when you're walking down the road, be careful because they will mimic you. And I will write about, I still go back into my color poems, and I go into the seasons, into the garden, because I do a lot of gardening. And a lot of things are nature with me, I have to admit that.
Yeah, so we started off talking about walking and the inspiration of walking, and obviously gardening falls into that category for you too as well. The people around you, how do they feel about, I mean, it's got to be kind of interesting for them, the fact that you've been able to pull these collections together and that you do this. What do your friends say? What do the people around you say about your ability to come up with these poems?
I have some friends who have told me, and some of these friends I don't know as well, but they're people, that my poetry was very comforting to them during chemotherapy, recovering from breast cancer. And I have had other people give my books to these people, to, you know, sisters and cousins and all, that were going through chemotherapy especially. And then I've had other friends tell me that they could understand my poetry. It was easy to understand and they could relate to it. And that it was positive, and they used it, they would read it before they got up, after they got up in the morning with a cup of coffee. And I've had some of them even include it with their devotional time. And then I have friends who are not interested at all because poetry doesn't mean a thing to them. And so, I mean, I have a variety of all. And then I have a friend who I send my poems to, email, and then she critiques it for me. And she tells me, you gotta work on this a little more. So I think that's, you know, valuable too. And my husband will tell me, he'll even tell me when I use the word too often in it. But there's a variety of responses.
How many poems do you think you've written over the years?
Oh, a couple hundred, a few hundred of them probably. Yes. If I combine both books and then other poetry that I haven't ever, you know, put into a book, at least a couple hundred, yes.
Wow. Do you have a favorite poem?
I have one poem that people who don't like my poetry because they feel it's a little too tame, a little too conservative, but they like my poem about the river that splits through New London, the Wolf River. And probably the ones on conflicts between people, because I volunteer a lot and there's a lot of conflicts when there are volunteers.
Boy, that's interesting, talking about volunteers and a lot of conflicts. So a lot of, if you've written hundreds of poems, Sylvie, it seems to me that, you write about what's happening in your life, and that's how some of that poetry comes out, right, and manifests itself?
Yes. Now, the poetry on the poem called Conflicts tells us to appreciate people who we work with, even though they may not give us much time and effort as we would like them to, but we have to realize everyone is fighting their own battles, and everyone has a different level of commitment and time and energy to give. And so we have to appreciate whether they give short time or a long time, and learn how to say thank you and say sorry. And that poem some people have put in their frame and in a picture frame and put on their desk to remind them. So that made me feel good.
I like that. I think that people listening to this show should do the same thing. And now that you've said that, I think that I'm going to end up doing the same thing and put that above my studio. What a pleasure to speak with Sylvia Stern. And again, she's the author of the book Walking Through Poetry. Is the Rhythm of Life. And we're going to chat with her again a little bit later in the show. Be happy.
In an emergency, you need a fire now. But what if the wood is wet? No problem for InstaFire. Our non-toxic fire starter packs lights wet wood, floats, and can even burn on water or in any weather. Sustains winds up to 30 miles per hour, and each pouch weighs only 1.75 ounces. Need an emergency or camp stove? Get the InstaFire Inferno stove that boils 20 ounces of water in under 3 minutes with controllable heat and temp from 425 to 1500 degrees. Free shipping. Go to InstaFire.com and use discount code RADIO30 up to 3 times for 30% off your order. InstaFire. Fire in an instant.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.